Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top Chef for Hop Up. I'm Haley Strong. I'm here today. It's a beautiful sunny day, at least today where I am, which is a thrill for me personally. Something else that's making my day nice and sunny is the two people who are joining me here today on the podcast. Kurt Clark, what's up?
Padma likes her food spicy and tart. I like my podcast meandering and chaotic. So let's do it.
Well, you've come to the right place, my friend. This is the bimbo podcast of the RHAP. What's it called? Catalog? LaTanya.
Hi. Hello. Fellow bimbo here.
Fellow bimbo. The bimbo squad. Kurt, are you okay with being a bimbo?
Can I be a himbo?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well, welcome. This is another episode.
Yes, it is.
That's how it goes. Let me pull up the spreadsheet. I enjoyed this episode. I liked it more than last week. I think I like the quickfire. I like that we're bringing the judges in. And I liked, although, again, I think we're giving Richard a little too much screen time.
Yeah, Richard's agent, like, worked overtime for this season, I think.
Was he?
Got him a good deal.
I can't remember, because there were 10 judges, right? Was he one of them?
Yes.
I can only assume.
Okay.
Yes. Well, yeah, he was, because I remember at one point it was the judges, like the four judges, and Richard against everyone else. Like when they were doing the debates.
When they went backstage to arbitrate.
Into the dojo.
And I love that there is a tofu challenge. I thought that was really fun. I think that's something we've been asking for, is a more like a veg heavy or a vegetarian heavy challenge. And we kind of got it, sort of. We worked with tofu, which was nice.
I love me a food that describes itself in the same way you talk about mattresses.
That took me a second. That's a funny joke.
And reclining.
Reclining
adjustable
tofu.
Adjustable tofu.
Like, well, what are those ones that, like, do that?
Half of my tofu is hot and the other half is cold. So we have different temperatures on each side of the tofu.
Just in case you're sharing your tofu.
Yeah. It's like the DLT of... Continue.
The quickfire was create custom dishes featuring the judges' preferred flavor combination. So we had Padma, Tom, and Gail come in and say what it is they're looking for in a dish. And then we had Richard there, again, because his agent is great at his job. So they were doing head-to-head, but then Richard would pick his favorite out of the three that won. There's a lot of weird tournament schematics in this episode.
There was. You're right. I was surprised when they went into the elimination challenge. I'm like, oh, another tournament challenge. They're like, this is, we said we would do this tournament style. Like, oh, like we just did. You don't have to explain that to us because we just experienced that. Thank you.
But this one's bigger.
Bigger and better and more rounds. So Gail wanted smoky and charred, and Gabe and Jamie faced off, and Gabe made bay leaf oil roasted pork with smoked jalapeno, tomatillo salsa, and avocado. And Jimmy made a grilled skirt steak with chipotle, smoked corn, and spicy tomatillo salsa. Both of these looked unreal.
Mm-hmm.
So are these now like official secret menu items at Chipotle? Can I go?
Oh, I forgot it was a Chipotle challenge. I totally just forgot it was a Chipotle challenge.
Yeah.
Chipotle challenge.
Using only the ingredients, the 53 ingredients that Chipotle uses, allegedly.
What is your Chipotle go-to order?
Chicken bowl, no rice.
It depends on if I'm in the mood for a salad or a burrito. So I normally get like the chicken salad with some guac and some corn and salsa, or I get like a chicken burrito. Yeah,
I usually get a burrito bowl with carnitas, but I also want the fajita veggies on it. I always have to get a side of nachos for using it instead of a fork. I always use the smoked chipotle Tabasco because it's so good. And I always get a Mr. Pibb there because that's like Pibb. The only place that says Mr. Pibb. I don't even think it exists in Canada, honestly.
He hasn't gotten his doctorate yet. He's
just Senor Pibb.
Sometimes if I'm feeling real wild, I'll get a quesadilla. I love their quesadillas with chicken. Oh, they're so good.
Bookmark the quesadilla thing for what we're eating this week. But
Previews.
Previews.
Lavadilla.
I'll do the chicken bowl, no rice. And it'd be like chicken, a mix of their two beans and some black, some pinto. I'll get the fajita veggies, usually like the tomato salsa, and then cheese and guac. Usually won't do a sour cream. And that's like if I'm trying to like go like no carb, protein heavy. It's actually pretty tasty. And I'll add the same chipotle sauce, the Tabasco that you do. I prefer the bowl because then you're not confined by the spatial parameters of the burrito, the tortilla wrap. You can kind of they don't really heap it into the bowl, I find. Although I have gotten burritos more so a Qdoba than a Chipotle, but where they've had to like where like all the stuff I've gotten in the burrito is too much for the burrito to contain, and they had to like patch the hull breach with like a taco shell. Oh no, it's leaking out. Put out the taco shell. We're going to lose everything.
One time they didn't give me my salad dressing, and I was just like, what am I supposed to do? You know?
So what did you end up doing? Did you go back and ask them?
I didn't. It was delivered. So I was just what am I supposed to do now? Because their dressing is very distinctive. You can't like, you know.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's really good. It's not something that I can recreate.
I'm going to have to try it sometime. It's been a long time since I've had Chipotle. Like, it's only in, like, Toronto, and I haven't been there in a very long time. It's only, like, usually I'll get it in the States. But, again, I haven't been there in a long
time. I haven't been to Chipotle since lockdown or since, you know, since, like, March of last year. So that's...
Well, you used to live in L.A., and there was much better Mexican food just truly everywhere.
True. When I was in Chicago, there was one within walking distance of me that like occasionally, like literally 2-3 minutes. So if like I didn't know what to do with dinner occasionally, I'd be like, I'll just get Chipotle. But it always seems like there's like, when did they get this on the menu? like there's always like little.
There's always new little things.
Yeah. But yeah. I prefer Qdoba. Won't lie. But.
I've never had it because we're just like mainstream. Like if we're in the States, we usually have a rotation of like places we'll go, which is usually Panera or Chipotle. Sometimes my friends will want to go to Bob Evans, and I go just because I have to.
Yeah,
that is a random assortment of Americana.
But it's like, I swear, like 90% of Bob Evans are like in the same mall parking lot as Red Lobster. So you should just like.
Well, we have Red Lobster here is the only thing.
Okay.
So you got a Red Lobster.
You have to. Yeah. It was in Beyonce's song. So it has to be everywhere.
And you know I love Red Lobster. Okay. And so anyway, Gabe won face off. In case you didn't pick that up. Tom wanted something tangy and crunchy, and Byron and Don faced off against each other. Byron made mojo grilled pork, poblano, and charred corn salad, tomatillo, charred poblano salsa, and Don made wood-fired pork loin with crispy onions and poblano avocado puree. Again, these both look... Everything
looked great. Yeah, I wanted all of the things.
They all looked great. There also wasn't a lot for me of, like, variation. Like, they were all kind of... Because they were all the same.
Yeah,
like,
it's Chipotle ingredients.
There wasn't a lot of...
a lot of tomatillo and a lot of poblanos.
Yeah, but I am going to, next time I go to Chipotle, I'm going to say, can I get your wood-fired pork loin with crispy onion? And just see how what they say.
Dawn ended up winning this round and the whole challenge. What did she win? Did she win money?
Yeah, she won $10,000.
Oh, amazing.
Furnished by their friends at Chipotle.
Nice. Yeah.
Thanks, Chipotle. Said Dawn, probably.
She was very surprised. Like, she like almost fell over, it looked like.
Good for her. We love a Dawn win.
In like a preview of what would happen at the end of the episode, her and Byron facing off against one another.
Oh, really, yeah.
When we got the Dawn Olympics backstory and the Dawn's brother Olympics backstory, I was like, come on now.
I didn't get that.
Oh.
You didn't. It was only an hour episode. You didn't get her talking about her brother and like there were photos of her in the Olympics. It was in the... Huh.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry.
I'm pretty sure I paid attention the whole episode.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, it's not like The Bachelor. Like, The Bachelor will literally be like this the whole time. Like, great, whatever. Well, the Top Chef, I'm like, phone is away. I am looking at the television.
There were things I picked up on my second watch and that I missed on my first, like Jamie comparing herself to Hello Kitty.
Yeah, that I wrote that down. That was funny.
I missed that too. Maybe I was just out in space.
That killed me.
Padma wanted something spicy and tart. Maria and Shota faced off against each other. Shota was anxious because he was like, oh, wow, this is a challenge featuring Mexican ingredients and I'm going against a Mexican chef. Can't wait for this.
Yeah.
He ended up winning with his pork loin and spicy avocado puree, sauteed spinach and crunchy black beans against Maria's fried avocado taco with black bean tortilla, serrano pepper, fresh corn, avocado, and spinach jalapeno salsa.
And Maria's didn't have any protein in it. I mean, I'm always thinking like, is this vegetable considered technically a protein, like jackfruit? But hers didn't have like the pork or the barbacoa.
No.
It's good for her. I love that. I love just being like, screw it. We don't need the meat. I want every single dish that we saw.
There was a dish you didn't want, wasn't there?
There's no fish, Kurt. How could you not want one?
Maybe because I knew everything was coming from Chipotle. Maybe
you
were
like worried about some like listeria or whatever is in Chipotle.
No, I just wasn't. Nothing here like excited me. But yeah, I don't know. Actually, I liked that. I found it interesting that Shota won. And then there was the comment.
Maria was pissed that he won.
Yeah, not happy.
Pam is like, this wasn't like that spicy. And she's like, I was taking it easy on white boy Richard.
And Richard's like, hey, guys, like, I like spice. And Pam is just like, no.
I'm wondering what flavor profile, because Shota apparently stepped it up from a spice perspective, because like his cookies said Japanese cooking typically isn't that spicy or powerful. And so I'm wondering like what kind of flavor profile he put, if he steer into some of the more traditional like Mexican flavors or I would have been curious about that. And like the crispy beans that he kind of intrigued me, But yeah, Maria was. By the way, I like the through line that whenever like that that Maria is constantly referring to herself as the Mexican.
The Mexican.
Yeah, they're like, you know, who was responsible for this dish? Like in Restaurant Wars, she's like the Mexican, and like wonderful. It's very self-referential. I love it.
I will not be referring to her as that.
No,
I don't think I'm allowed.
It's empowering that she refers to herself as such.
She can Maria can do whatever she wants in my book.
Yes.
I love her so much.
She definitely is like the Miss Congeniality of the season.
Yeah, like Rourke mentioned last week that she's nervous she's going to be like the robbed goddess at fourth place, but I feel like she's getting so much content that it's hard for me to believe that she doesn't end up in the final.
At the very least, like the voting for America's favorite Top Chef, I don't know what this, I can't remember what the term is.
The fan fave?
America's next favorite Top Chef.
Yeah, next Top Chef. started this week. So, like, they're promoting it during the episode. I don't know if they have that in Canada as well, given, like,
I don't watch the commercials, though, to be fair. No, I don't think we're able to vote in that, though.
Yeah, even, like, zooming past it, I saw that it had come up. And I'm wondering if, I have a feeling that it's going to be between her and Shota.
Yeah.
Maybe John.
I don't know how it wouldn't be Maria, though.
I don't think
unless it's Jamie.
It could be Jamie. I don't see it being Gabe. Looking at her final five, the only one I don't The one I think has the least chance is Gabe.
What about Gabriel?
Oh, yeah, he's locked.
Well, we established last week when you abandoned us, Father, that...
Papa. Did you listen to the podcast, Kurt?
No.
I did not. No.
Of course not. Oh,
it was pure chaos. It was even more chaos than usual.
We established Haley's strong crush on Gabriel.
I would make out with them. I think I've made that clear.
There is kind of a like young Tom look around him. Mostly in the shape of the face.
Kind of, something to think about. Maybe I have a type.
Something. Ruminations on a Tom face. Coming to you soon.
Although Ethan doesn't look very Tomish. I think I have two types. Like what Ethan looks like and like a Tom. Mm. Something to think about. Something for me to talk about in therapy if I ever go. Tofu tournament time, guys. Tofu. So I actually kind of like the setup of this. I don't really remember them ever having something where it's like you face off and if you have the worst dish, you're just out.
The battle royale.
So what they did was they had three types of tofu for the first round. So Maria and Shoto had medium tofu. Don and Gabe had firm tofu. And Byron and Jamie had extra firm. The winners of those battles, automatically, they're safe. They don't have to cook anymore. They lose. Those three people have to do a fried tofu dish. And the winner of that round is safe. And the two losers of that round have to go do another cook. And they have to make a dessert with soft tofu.
Which I think of as the waterbed of tofu.
We almost bought some today. And then we were like, we're not feeling that adventurous yet.
I thought you were going to say, we almost bought a waterbed today. I was like, huh.
Those were very like 80s. I had like a waterbed in the 80s, and you never hear of waterbeds these days.
There's just one on the newest Conjuring movie. Like that's why it's like so fresh in my mind. There was a
Devil Made Me waterbed.
I have a cat, so I feel like a waterbed is probably not the best choice.
Good point.
You got there. I was just like, okay.
I was actually, listen, so I got Good Food a couple weeks ago, right? Good Food box. It's like HelloFresh or whatever. Came with a nice.
You were just describing like lowercase g in
a. Oh, yeah, a good meal.
Okay. Like, I had Good Food the other day.
I know, and that's why I had to explain it. It's like HelloFresh. Yeah. Anyway, it comes with ice packs like every subscription box does. This time I was like, I'm keeping this. So I put the ice pack in the freezer. Came in very handy. One day when my house was really hot, my feet were too hot for me to function, so I had to like put my feet on it. And then last night, my ankle was really swollen, because if you remember from last week, I sprained my ankle last week. So it got really swollen yesterday. So I just like slept with this ice pack in my bed. And I was worried that the cat would bite it, and then all the ice pack liquid would run out. And it would absorb into our memory foam mattress. Luckily, it did not happen.
Those things remember.
Yeah, they would remember the goo.
The problem I have with those ice packs is I'll put them in the freezer before, like when they've thawed, and then they'll freeze in the freezer and wedge themselves in there in a way I can never get them out.
And they're so big. I want two of them because we can put them in our cooler. But again, sometimes it's like a triangle. And it's like, I can't.
You gotta get the ones you can actually fill with ice. Those are elite.
Those are bags.
Sometimes we'll just fill like a plastic bag with ice. Because we do have an ice maker, which is a great appliance if you don't have one.
I don't.
It sounds wonderful. I'm not that experienced, I think, with tofu. I think my primary exposure to tofu is like the chunks of it that are floating in like a miso soup.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. I mean, don't get me wrong. But the other question I had is, was this explicitly like vegetarian? Like you can do tofu, okay, tofu and steak. That's my dish. Yeah. Like I was trying to remember, I didn't see any like meat.
So Byron used shrimp, and I would say that was probably one of the only instances.
Prosciutto in that same challenge.
Nice.
Never gone wrong with that. But yeah, so that was something I was also just wondering if that was apparently not. But you would want to Like, I think we watched enough Top Chef right now that you would kind of go into this saying, okay, you want the tofu to be the star of the dish. So if you're going to put anything in there, like it might be like there was like another one that did have like a chicken jus.
Yeah.
Or you might have a, like, you know, a prosciutto as that like a topping or like a, an addition, yeah. But the tofu needs to be what shines.
You wouldn't want to do like I loved Maria's like fried soybean crumble. Like you wouldn't want to like coat a steak in that and just be like, it's my tofu dish. Enjoy, everyone.
Tofu crusted steak. Mm.
Yeah, now I'm saying it.
Yeah, but, sounds great.
So Maria and Shota faced off with medium tofu. Maria made a soy braised tofu tamale with masa and soybeans, and Shota made soy braised tofu with soy milk yuba, shira ai, and tofu crumbles. Shota ended up winning this round. Maria was like, this is bullshit. I'm facing off against Shota, who's very good at tofu. Not fair. I thought maybe she would win as like a kind of like revenge for the quickfire win.
Like it's shoes on the other foot?
Yeah, exactly. But
was this one of the ties?
Yeah, this was one of the ties. Awesome. Okay, let's talk about the ties.
Yeah.
Why do you have a lot of people?
How do you debate that out?
Kick out Richard, then you'll have nine.
They were all like standing across the room from each other being like, I thought Maria's was better. Like, I thought Shota's was better. It's like, how are you? Yeah, like, how are you coming to an agreement in that?
I really wish you were recording this.
Yeah, that was perfect video because Kaylee literally got up out of her seat, went to one side of the room, imitated the people, and then went to the other side of the room and facing the first side. It was great.
They looked like a gang of school bullies, like ready for an acapella battle. It was like the Sharks and the
Jets.
Yeah,
that would have been great if they just like, burst in the song, honestly. I mean, there's not nearly enough song bursting on Top Chef.
I 100% agree. But I was like, why? They wanted this to happen. That's what it was. Because or else they would have had 11 people. Like, it's not that hard to get another person. Like, what, you sent Carrie home already? Get Carrie. She's 11. Anyway, I was mad. Ended up the show to one.
Huh.
Nobody actually like won this challenge though, right? Like I didn't miss that. Right.
No, there was one.
They didn't look at the top three in the first round and say, and this one was the overall.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. Oh, I thought you meant in terms of like the one that wasn't a tie. But no, there was no like actual overall winner of the challenge, which is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It was almost like single elimination for the winners. It's like the losers. It was like for those who follow my coffee battles on Facebook, it's like the loser advance, like the winning coffee vote gets taken out of the bracket.
Yeah, because they get drinking.
No, I have that backwards. The winners do advance, the losers don't. Sorry.
The winners advance to your mouth.
No, the losers advance to my mouth. The winners advance to meet other winners. So overall, we have the tastiest versus the worst. Never mind.
Firm tofu was made by Don and Gabe. Don made West Indian style brown stew tofu with charred vegetables, and Gabe made marinated and braised tofu with cottage soybeans and miso chicken jus. Gabe won this one. Again, it was a tie. It was a tie. Wasn't there 11 people? Because then we got like, no, I think this one's better. It's like, well, I would order this one. It's like, just have an 11th person.
Or kick out Richard.
Kick out Richard, yeah. Go for it. Great idea, Kurt. Have nine. Save more money if you really want.
By the way, Kristen was looking fierce in this episode. I almost texted you guys when I was watching with like the black leather jacket and like I was like, whew. Go Kristen.
Like it was rude. It was truly rude for them to have Melissa and Kristen be so hot together.
It's not okay.
Like and I'm getting angry.
Someone should like complain about it. I don't want to be the one who does, but if I need to, I will, you know? It's gotten ridiculous.
And Tom's hat was hot. Like, Kurt, your hat looks great. Like, I'm like, yes.
Great hat.
This is a great hat.
It's a real Crocodile Dundee moment brought to the Japanese garden.
Much better than the slouchy tooth that we saw a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, much better than that.
Extra firm tofu. Byron made pan-seared tofu with daikon salad and tofu vinaigrette. Jimmy made banzao with sauteed tofu and fresh herbs. Jamie's look great. I guess Byron's look great too, but This one was, well, this one was like it made me uncomfortable because Jamie got 9 votes to Byron's 1.
Yeah, that was not the trick of the day for Byron. I felt bad.
Byron had a rough go this episode. He's never cooking tofu. Again, he was like, I've never cooked tofu before. I'm like, you're a professional chef and you've just like never experimented with tofu.
The interesting, and I think this was the one that they were saying, like the extra firm is the one that's the toughest to prepare. So it's not like he, it was just like an extra firm. It wasn't like his extra firm tofu dish had to go up against the medium tofu dish. It was, it was extra firm versus extra firm. And there was like, you know, so that it wasn't technically a disadvantage for him to have been given this tofu, but it was probably the more challenging of the battles, given what the judges were saying about just the tendency or the nature of working with this particular type.
So then in the next round, they have to make
And it was right about this time too, that the Dawn confessionals.
We're starting to get a little like.
Shifted in tone.
Scary.
Yeah. I was like, are her eyes, was she holding back tears?
Yeah.
And this is where I was really starting to get concerned.
I went on a journey, you all. I mean, just truly like a never-ending story kind of thing. As a Black woman doing a podcast about Top Chef, I love Dawn. I root for her implicitly. She is my everything. However, this is not okay. And they can't do this to me anymore. I have a bad heart.
I was like, oh no. First of all, I was like, oh no, Dawn's getting weird out at it. And then I was like, oh no, I hope Latanya's okay. But I can't text her in case she hasn't.
I hadn't. I try to, I save these things, like, you know, for when I truly need them. And normally that is the day before we record this podcast.
That sounds reasonable to me. I have to wait. I usually do Friday nights so that I won't forget to watch it.
Because I'm concerned about being spoiled.
Right.
I've been, now it's going to happen, but I've been really like hashtag blessed, y'all.
Me too. I haven't seen one thing.
People have been, thank you to the listeners for, you know, even when they like tweet us after the episode to give us, there was the pasta one.
Yep.
But that's okay. Because I knew that dude was going to make some more bad pasta at some point. So it didn't really even bother me that much.
And I didn't I didn't put two and two together that the three of us got tagged in no harm, no foul. Got tagged in a tweet about Chris's pasta and like, dude, just stop, you know, like everyone's like, just stop making pasta. And I was like, that could or could not be telegraphing that, you know, something bad happens on that front. It could have referred to any time he's made a pasta.
That's where being done comes as a benefit to me, because I didn't even think of anything of it.
Right. It's like, and that's something you would have tweeted the moment you saw that he was making a pasta. Like, I would have said, dude, why are you making a pasta?
So Maria made fried tofu steak with Asian mole and fried soybean crumble, and she won this round. Byron made wajillo fried tofu with grilled shrimp, smoked fried tofu puree, prosciutto, and crispy tofu skins. This looked delicious. Yeah. But I really do think Dawn would have won with her Nashville hot tofu with pickles and soy and buttermilk ranch. I would order that off of any menu. That sounds amazing.
Ed wanted to put like the paddle up in protest, he said.
Yeah. Like I think she would have taken this
round. Had she not been bleeding into her plates.
She literally bled into the pickles.
Like she put her blood and sweat and tears into her literal dishes.
Anytime I see anyone use a mandolin without a glove, it makes me cringe.
Yeah.
When I worked at Arby's, I manned the roast beef slicer, and
I don't think Latanya knew you worked at Arby's. This hasn't been brought up yet this season, I don't think.
Well, yeah, but last summer we did. Maybe she wasn't listening to our discussion of all things fast food, where we all expressed unanimously. I think it was you, me, and Josh loved Arby's.
Yeah,
I probably revealed it then. But you had to wear this like chainmail glove. Mm-hmm. It was like a glove made of chain. I don't know how to describe it.
No, you did it. Really,
yeah. To whenever you were using the slicer, and so I would have put that on, like, using the mandolin. Like when and we saw the shots of Gabe sharpening his knife in his hotel room, I would have been, like, all, like, gloved up then, too. It's like, I don't like blood.
That was hot, by the way.
My darling current husband. But one day I came home from work, and I see he had started to make dinner. Like, oh, like, fancy cucumbers and make with the mandolin. And he wasn't there, so I figured he went upstairs to go to the bathroom. And I realized it, like, hit me. So I, like, call out to him. I'm like, hey, Ethan, did you cut yourself on the mandolin? And I walk into the living room. He's holding his thumb up, like, yeah.
Oh.
Guess who had to pull some thumb skin off that mandolin?
Huh.
Guess who never used that mandolin ever again?
She wasn't mandolining beats. Like,
it was horrific. I just
and the fact that this was like for a last minute addition to the dish was also just like, you know, a hate crime, basically.
Yeah. I'm very proud that Maria and Byron helped her
immediately get her dishes. In.
They just couldn't get to that.
They just didn't know how to count, which is okay. Because I can't count either, y'all.
I'm starting to get worried again about the storyline that Dawn can't get her food out in time.
Yeah.
But this one wasn't really her fault.
This was an extenuating circumstance. I mean, well, it was her fault. But
yes,
it was an extended and I don't think they just did they miscount. I assume they ran out of time. I didn't know that they realized that they miscounted. But
I think they were like, shoot, we couldn't get to that last one. But
it was interesting because we've seen instances before. Like, well, I guess Dawn's first dish where she missed the peanut sauce. It's not like it was a peanut sauce challenge. Oh, you missed this element. It was like, it was just an incomplete conception of what she wanted, but she could still serve it. I swear I thought we'd had things previously where, like, part of the parameters of the challenge were either ignored or not gotten to, and they've still counted it. But I can see why, just given the nature of this, the structure of this tournament, they didn't want to do that. So I'm not too upset by it. Yeah. I was just trying to think of instances that compare this to similar instances in the past where incomplete dishes have been served, but then holding that up against what the rules of the dish were. But we've seen people like not get enough servings out, like just and still be counted. So
yeah.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
And then so Dawn and Byron faced off against each other for the soft tofu dessert round.
Byron's all prepared. Oh. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And the chef's watching or commenting. Oh, he's got a plan. And Dawn's confessional is, I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff together. I don't have any. I'm just going to kind of make this up as I go along. Did not help my fear.
It was anxiety inducing.
Yeah, because they were just like, she doesn't have any urgency to her. She's just kind of going through the motions, like golf commentators. Because just like
She's bleeding profusely.
She's like lightheaded. She lost so much blood into the pickles.
She couldn't go quickly.
Don made mango tofu mousse with macerated mango, diced soft tofu, and sesame okara crumble. Or Byron made soft tofu mousse with honey okara and dried mango granola. So not dissimilar dishes.
It
so
also, I think yeah, it didn't really help that they made the same thing.
I'm not throwing shade on Don here, so don't come at me, LaTanya. But part of me was wondering if there was any discussion in the kitchen around Don didn't know what to do. But then suddenly her dish looks a lot like Byron's. Like, I wonder if that was ever a point of discussion.
I mean, if it was a dessert face-off. Yes, so yes. I'm fine with it being like, let's both make the same dessert and whoever's dessert is better.
And to be fair, when I went to the grocery store today, there was two types of soft tofu dessert. There was plain and mango. So I feel like it's one of those like things where it's like just like, mango and soft tofu. Use. That's the combo.
The side note: I went to my sister's for dinner on Friday, and grabbed a White Claw out of the fridge for her. And I was looking for mango, but I swear it said mayo, but it was mango. So I would get the mayo and the mango mixed up in my head sometimes.
Huh.
Sorry.
Imagine that. Mayo, White Claw.
Actually, I do like mayo. Like, I, to an astounding degree for a Black person. I've been told. But I like mayo way too much.
I'd be like me some mayo.
Me too.
Mayo.
But she. Our true love. Mayo.
Welcome to the Top Mayo podcast.
First it was ice, now it's mayo.
The thing is, it's like, this was still another blowout against Byron 9-1.
Yeah, Byron had a lot of like, just absolute, like, poor Byron. Yeah, we didn't mention the fried tofu round. They just kind of took Don's out of contention. Maria went 9-1 again, like, against Byron. Like, poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but maybe the least serious.
Yeah, I don't think I held paddles up for this one because that'd be pretty bad to like hear. Byron, please pack your knives and go while we're holding these embarrassing paddles.
Yeah. By the way, please pack your knives and go by a vote of 9-1.
But if I had to like pick one person out of who's left to go, I think it would have been Byron.
Yeah.
Especially as Don. I did not want Don to be here.
At this point, for me, it's like Byron or Gabe.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm right there.
For Gabe? Really?
I just enjoy Jamie, Don, Maria, and Shota so much more.
I enjoy them so much more. It's just that the judges seem to just be head over heels for Gabe's food.
Oh, yeah, no, he's doing great cooking. I'm saying in terms of, like, who I wouldn't miss on my
show. Oh, you wouldn't miss,
Yeah.
I mean, him sharpening those knives was, like, the best thing that he's done all season, in my mind.
Well, I liked his announcing during the drive-in challenge, where he was trying to be all spooky.
I keep forgetting that challenge happened. It's like something in my brain has blocked it out. I don't know what it is.
There's some... He has a goofy gear that he shifts into occasionally that I find really endearing.
That's true. So, but mostly he's so reserved.
Yeah, but we just need more of the goofy.
Yeah.
Anyways, this was a good episode. I enjoyed it. I liked the tournament style. I kind of liked that this was like, sorry, you like lost the face-off. Like, you're going home. But I wouldn't want to see that every single episode.
No.
It's
especially when it was also kind of predominant in Last Chance Kitchen, too.
Tell me about Last Chance Kitchen, because again...
Do I have to?
Oh, my Lord.
Because it has no ramifications.
That's the thing. It doesn't affect anything. When you said it was 45 minutes, I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe I'll watch it. But then Ethan was like, do you want to know what happened on Last Chance Kitchen? I said, like, yeah. So he told me, and I was like, oh, so there's no point to us watching this.
Nothing.
Cool.
There's nothing. I mean,
except for Jamie going, at the end of her beating Byron and removing him completely from the competition. But, Brooke was there.
Yes. Brooke and Kristen were there.
Yeah.
So that was nice. Did you enjoy last week's Last Chance Kitchen, Kurt?
going the car. Back and reminding myself of
the Tom driving a BMW. Last Chance Kitchen.
Like I said in the notes, there's like, I was gonna be really upset if he didn't come back in wearing his helmet, and he didn't, and I was upset. It was fine.
this season has been odd.
The thing is, I like when there's limitations or parameters around like the ingredients or the nature of the dish, and it seemed like the only thing last week was the time limit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. I was like, well, that's going to take him like, so he's 10 laps and he's probably like 30, 45 minutes away. But then like Sarah was like, no, the racetrack's like right over there, maybe 5 minutes away. So anyway, no, the, I mean, Last Chance Kitchen got Jamie back into the competition, but post Jamie, there's been basically, this means there was like no reason to watch it because so it was Byron facing off against Sarah. And that competition was around creating your own take on a bento box, which was kind of fun.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And they had kind of, like you need the protein and the pickled vegetable. And there was like a definitive, like the four elements that you have to include. I was, obviously heartbroken that Sarah was eliminated.
When I heard that, I was pretty disappointed. I really thought she could have done it.
Yeah. Shota said he was rooting for her.
Of course he was.
Because all the chefs came back.
Yeah. And more evidence of shippage.
Yeah. And then, I was wondering what was going to happen because it was kind of phrased in like whoever wins between Byron and Sarah will have a chance to come back into the competition. I think we'd seen that previously in previous seasons and have commented about like, well, of course they're going to get back in and they had, whereas this was like the remaining five chefs had to pick 10 items out of the pantry for Byron to cook with. And there was kind of some back and forth in terms of, well, I can make this really difficult, but there's probably some sort of twist where this doesn't just impact Byron. And so you had like Shota and Dawn picking slightly more difficult things, but you had like Maria and Gabe acknowledging we may have to use these ingredients or something. Like the gist was, well, they didn't really know what the gist was at the time. they came back with five baskets of food and five baskets of 10 ingredients each. And Byron had to look through the baskets of ingredients and say, okay, you're going to have to go head-to-head against the chefs who picked three of these baskets using these specific ingredients. And so it was kind of Byron eliminated Shota's and Dawn's as too difficult to work with, and so he had to do three one-on-ones against Gabe. And he got to choose the order, Gabe, then Maria, then Jamie. So Gabe beat him. And then I was looking at how much time was left in the episode, and I was like, 20 minutes or so, he's probably going to do all three challenges. And so, sure enough, like Marie, he beats Maria, and there's still like now maybe 10 minutes left in the episode. And then the last one, I was just assuming he would beat Jamie. They'd want him to come back in, and no, Jamie beat him. So well, no more Byron.
Said that her box was the easiest. Because he apparently lit a fire under Jamie that the likes of which we have never seen.
Well, and it's tough too because Jamie's been through Last Chance Kitchen, so she knows kind of the subtle differences between the two competitions. She knows how to work Last Chance Kitchen, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she would not have been my choice for that last dish.
Yeah.
Also, I think people just underestimate Jamie because she's one of those like fun people who like you don't totally always take seriously because she doesn't always say words instead of but she knows what she's doing, and so I don't think it's fair to be like, I could probably beat Jamie. Like, no, you can't.
And he didn't.
No, he did not.
And you can see like Shota was very, of the five who are still remaining, Shota was the most vocal about, we don't want someone coming back in.
We got to protect this house. Like, we're not going to let anybody back in here.
I don't. Yeah. Jamie's like, nobody else got in here.
So that's
it. That's
we're down to five. I don't know when this does. Do you think we've got? Is it? I can never remember. Is it the final two or final three, or does it vary?
It varies.
Okay.
I wonder now if they're going to have a final two instead of a final three, because they probably expected somebody to come back to eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so down to five next week.
Can't wait to see our best friend Brooke.
Yay, Brooke.
Yay. Yeah, I mean, this was a really interesting episode all around.
Yeah.
I like competitions, and this was a competition within a competition. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. Them getting to go tour the oldest tofu-ery was nice.
That's so cool.
I think of it like a tofu tech, like a discotheque. How about a tofuteria? No?
That sounds like a disease.
We're getting shirts that say tofuteria.
Okay. Yeah,
anyway.
That was nice. Yeah.
Who do you want to win? Who do you want to win?
Well, I also want to point out that you and I each have one person left on our team. And Latonya,
I don't want that pointed
people
out to me, Kurt.
Latonya still has three.
So, beginner's luck.
So I'm going to be rooting for Shota because he is my last pick and I enjoy him.
Mm. I think I have to root for Shota here too.
Of my three remaining people.
We get it. You're better than us.
To luxuriate in that for a second. Don, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm all Don all the way. And then if not Don, then I guess Gabe, fine. Because, you know, he has a name that is also the name of my nephew. So
I would go Shota, then I think my second choice would be Maria. I just enjoy the hell.
Oh, I forgot that Maria.
Too.
Don, then Maria. Maria winning would be, like, she'd be so happy. And it seems like it would legitimately be life-changing.
Yeah.
I think, like, of all the, maybe this is getting ahead of ourselves, but, like the next potential All-Star season, I would love to see Maria come back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a minute. I think I'd be happy with any of these people, regardless of who wins.
Who do you think the final three will be if it's three?
I think Gabe and Dawn, definitely. And then probably Shota.
Mm.
I'm leaning towards those three as well, to be honest. There's been some weird editing things with Dawn and Gabe, but they've all been fake outs for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that the final three that would be the most enjoyable for me are the final three people that are left on the team, on my team. Dawn, Gabe, and Maria.
We get it.
No. I mean, I would love to see Shota in the final three as well, because I think that he would he seems like the person who still has the most to like bust out of a bag, if that makes sense. Like he has some tricks, I think. Yeah. And it would be interesting to see what those are.
Yeah. Agreed.
Kurt, what have you been making this week?
So I have like 2 weeks to catch you guys up on.
Yeah, that's true.
You did
some light smoking. You did some wild stuff last week.
Well, of meats, we should very clarify. I've been some smoking.
light smoking.
I visited a friend over Memorial Day weekend. He busted out this Wagyu steak that was like amazing. Someone described it. One of you in a group thread where they said, did it taste like meat marshmallow? And it was like it melted in your mouth. It was so tasty. And we tried we seared it with this propane burner and half of it was smoked. It was just so good.
It looked really good. Like I was legitimately jealous, frankly.
It was so tasty.
Don't do that again.
I subscribed to a new meal service.
Another one?
A different one, yeah, called Cook Unity. Where they're pre-made. You just have to like heat them in the stove or the microwave, and I prefer the stove, just saying. And that was interesting and tasty. I went to my sister's house, her and her husband. They did kind of homemade pizzas, and there was like a shrimp and avocado pizza with a garlic sauce that was really tasty. like a chicken pesto one that was really tasty and a brisket one that was tasty. And the my brother-in-law gave me like all this brisket to come back with. So I have to figure out how I'm going to cook it this week.
Brisket.
But the big thing was, so when I was growing up in West Michigan, in the Muskegon area, there was a Chinese restaurant called House of Chan. And it was like, that's where I discovered pot stickers and crab rangoons, like in elementary school. And it was just like, at least like once a month, my mom and I, we would pick it up and we'd take it. We'd never eat there. We tried a few times. It was always not great, the service, but we'd always pick it up and take it home. And it was great. And then it shut down. And then like, a couple months back, I was just like searching for like anything online about like what happened to it, what happened to the owner. And there was a, and it turned out it was actually two places. It was House of Chan and Joe's Steakhouse. I forgot that there was a steakhouse on the other side of this building. Well, it turns out that there's a place in Muskegon called Joe Chan's Bistro. And I looked it up and it's the same font as the original House of Chan. And I was like, and it turned out it was the same owner. And I think he just like moved and we never knew that. And so I ordered, so yesterday I was back home for my mom's birthday. And so I went and picked up the pot stickers and the crab rangoons and some Szechuan shrimp, no, Szechuan seafood dish, and a cashew shrimp dish, and a Philly cheesesteak quesadilla.
Yeah, I love this for you. Because, what a combo.
Yeah. Because their menu, it has like the Chinese food section, but then there's like the steak. So it still has like the steakhouse bistro bar type section as well, where you can get like a Reuben or Cobb salad or what have you. So we got all the dishes we would like normally get, and then I threw in a Philly cheesesteak on a quesadilla on top of that. It was
this is so Midwestern that I can't even right now.
Very much so. The crab rangoons were just how I remember them. The pot stickers were not. The seafood dishes were good. The cheesesteak quesadilla, pretty good. Not gonna lie.
Pretty good.
So that's been my week. It's just been like not a lot of cooking, but a lot of eating.
Well, Tony, what did you make this week and or eat this week?
So I did not do that, but I had a Thai green curry with eggplant and tofu, actually.
Oh, that sounds so
really like on point. Like before I even knew what this episode was about, I was just like, you know what? Tofu. And I was happy. I always have them put extra coconut milk in mine so that it doesn't like offend my delicate taste buds. Just like I can't do it anymore with the spices. And they obliged. I wish there was more tofu in it, honestly. But it was delicious. And then I had a really, really good pizza yesterday.
That
it had fennel sausage and no? Wow. Kurt, like,
you don't know that fennel is my arch enemy?
Oh no, it's underreported again.
You didn't listen to the podcast, Natalia.
I also need to point out something else that's underreported, and that's that I just noticed. Kurt is wearing a meat shirt. Different than the bacon shirt. Meatitarian. It has a steak on it.
Oh.
Did that come in a meat box? Did you buy that separately?
No, it was a Christmas gift from a few years back.
I'm planning on buying a shirt that says Cheese Queen on it. And a necklace that says charcuterie on it. So I get it.
So fennel sausage.
Fennel sausage.
Some mushrooms. Some Roma tomatoes. It was a tomato sauce base. And there was some basil on there as well.
I would probably enjoy it. I do tend to like, I like fennel when it is, I can do fennel when it's cooked. If it's like just raw veggie form and it tastes too licorice-y, then that's when I can't do it.
It didn't overwhelm the sausage part of the fennel sausage. So it was also one of those instances where, do y'all ever have those times where you just wait too long to eat in a day and then you're just ravenous when you get food?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, for me, I felt like I was experiencing some kind of like rapture. It was an out-of-body experience.
The pizza was being raptured.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was being raptured by me, and I was being raptured by the pizza. You know? So, it may or may not be my new religion. I haven't really come to that decision yet, but it was the best pizza I've had in quite some time.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Really good.
Oh, anything else, or was that the highlight?
Yeah, no, I only ate two things this week.
It's a big pizza.
I also had a pizza this week. I got one of my favorites, the Boston Pizza pierogi pizza.
Oh, yeah.
The what?
It's so good. It's a pierogi pizza. So the sauce is sour cream.
It's sauce.
Sour cream.
The sauce.
And then it's sliced potato and cheese with some bacon and green onions on it. And it's so good.
So it's a baked potato.
Yeah, it's a baked potato on a crust. Yep.
Cool.
Yep, it's delicious. I love it. Also, this week I was off on Monday, so I took some time and I marinated some cauliflower in like cumin and turmeric. And then we roasted that on the barbecue and also made some like spicy and hot honey green beans that were great. And some crispy barbecue potatoes, which were lovely. Yeah, I bought this hot honey because last year you guys talked about hot honey and now I bought hot honey. And I'm like, oh, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. We made grilled cheese last week. I bought some sourdough, shredded some cheddar cheese and just a little bit of the hot honey on that cheese.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah. It's a binding agent.
I need to leave my hot honey on the counter versus like with my sauce, like the non-refrigerated sauces and spices and stuff, because I have it, but I so seldom use it, but I really like it. But I always forget I have it.
I've even mixed it and like made a vinaigrette out of it. It's been a great condiment for me.
On a related note, to the podcast, to the show. So I've been looking at taking a week vacation following, American 4th of July, American Independence Day. So a little bit after yours, Haley.
Three whole days. Shoot, I should have asked you if you knew what it was.
I would have guessed July 1st because I remember I was flying to the UK in college for a summer program on July 1st, and we flew from Detroit over like Windsor and Toronto, and you could see the fireworks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But I think I might do Portland. I might do like Vegas.
Whoa.
I might do Portland, then Vegas, then Minneapolis.
Great.
And I was looking at where are some fun hotels and stuff in Portland. And I was like, oh yeah, so I forgot that like when I travel to other cities, not only do I try to do escape rooms in each city, but I'll look to see if they have any like culinary tours. And I was looking on Viator, which is like a, you know, kind of a touring company. You can go there and just, what city are you visiting? Okay, here's all the tours they have or that they're offered these through this company. And they have a donut tour. That I might do. And there's like a bite. There's like a, I got the tab open here. It's the Food Carts of Portland Bike Tour.
That's cool.
Wow.
Where it looks it's various food trucks and such. They call them like food carts. And it took me back to, and one of them almost looks like, remember when they did the flavors, there's like the food from Ghana and I'm trying to remember what the technical theme was because I don't want to get it wrong. But it was basically, it was like the ethnic cuisine. And there was the one that was like it would look like it was a food truck from, I believe it was, I think it was from Ghana. Although it might've been Guyana and I just am now misremembering. Regardless, it looks like that might be one of the ones that they visit. Although now that I see the sign on it, the sign says, Viking Soup Kitchen. So I don't think that's from either Ghana or Guyana, but that sort of thing. So anyway,
you know, when the Vikings
took over Africa, the Vikings all the way to Oregon. Little known fact, but so, and I was just thinking, do I visit the Tofutteria or do I need to go back and look at all the different things that they visited, like the Japanese garden? I was like, I could visit that. And
you even should.
And I'm a rewatch. Like-
Where they Good. Film Kill Bill.
It did, yeah. And like it's even like on my rewatch, I was like, okay, that's what it looks like. So like if I go there, I can say this is where the competition was held and Padma sat right here and this is where they debated. But anyway, considering going to Portland for vacation this summer for a weekend.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it does. I have friends in Portland. I should really see them at some point.
I've never been.
I keep wanting to do like a Vancouver to like San Francisco, like kind of train adventure and stop in Seattle and Portland. That's always been a
train adventure.
I love a train. Great way to see some countryside, you know?
I took a train from Chicago to LA once.
Yeah, that sounds...
I've always wanted to do the ones that are like from Toronto to Vancouver, where it's like the open, not like
the,
open,
yeah.
Like the sky view sort of thing.
That sounds pretty.
The convertible car, the convertible train.
Yes. Across the country train, that sounds not well planned.
I splurged on like a sleeper car that had like a bathroom in the car and like the beds and the car.
Oh.
So it was like I paid a lot, and but it was like an Easter weekend, and so a couple of the states that you were going through, they didn't sell alcohol on the train because they had to follow the liquor laws of the state you're going through at the time, and I was very upset.
That's funny.
Anyway.
All right. Well, next time, you know, you got to bring your own alcohol on that train.
Yeah.
Any hobo movie will tell you.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put my little bindle over my shoulder. But I would completely be going to Vancouver if it wasn't for lockdown. Like that's, I've always wanted to visit Vancouver.
I'm hoping it kind of sounds like by the end of September, at least everyone will be double vaxxed. So I'm hoping, I'm just trying to have joy. Like we're still in lockdown.
Yeah.
And it's been hard to find joy.
Yeah. It was weird. Like when I went shopping for groceries today, it was the first time I went to the sign on the door. I saw people walking out without masks on, and the sign on the door said, if you've been vaccinated, you're not required to wear a mask. And I was like, they're just taking that out of my pocket. I'm like, okay.
You know, there are a lot of liars.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know.
It's definitely an honor system.
Out there.
It is an honor system thing.
And trust no honor
system. Yeah, I can't abide an honor system in America. Like, it's just not going to work out well for anyone. We're all lying all the time.
Well, hopefully soon we can hang out in person. We can have pizza together. Anyway, Kurt, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Kurt Clark with two C's at the beginning of each of those words. Not two C's at the beginning of each, but one at the beginning of each. I saw the time.
Every week.
At CURTCLARK.
LaTanya?
Dubba 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 dot. at LK Starks on Twitter. Check out some of my Twittering. I will be talking about gymnastics later today because it is the national championships.
Question, LaTanya.
Yes.
Chelsea Mebel is competing?
Yeah. Chelsea Mebel was just like, oh, there's a pandemic? I guess I'll start training. 11 months later, mom of two, Chelsea Mebel, fully competing at national championships.
She competed in the 2008 Olympics.
She did.
Not only that, on a broken foot. She
on a broken and event. A dislocated shoulder.
Yeah, she only popped
her shoulder out during bars.
She only competed on bars because she had a broken foot, so she couldn't do anything else. But that was a time when they were allowed to have six people on a team so they can do a little more finagling. Are they down to four now, or is it still five?
Yeah, there's four That's now, so which stupid. Is stupid, but they're changing it back to five next year.
Right.
But the other thing is, their ridiculous process has made it so that one of our people who qualified through World Cup events means that we get an extra specialist spot. It doesn't make any sense. Like the gymnastics rules for 4-year fans, which is what we call people that just tune in for the Olympics.
Hello.
make absolutely no sense. They're all archaic and they're essentially made to stop Simone Biles from being great. So I'll be tweeting about things like that.
And maybe even talking about it on a podcast. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about some Olympics.
Possibly. Possibly might happen.
Ain't no city championships. This is the Olympics. Was it an actual quote from a gym parent? before. An Olympics once.
Not so an how Olympics. How old is Chelsea Olympics. Memel? Is she like 40?
No. I don't know how old she is. She's
I'm doing a quick Google.
32?
32. Yeah, you're right. Oh, okay. I guess it's hard because, like, the 2008 Olympics happened so long ago, but she missed her teens when
they go. She's better now than she was then, people. Like, it's one of those things where if you don't abuse people mentally and physically and make them go to beyond their limit until they literally break bones and dislocate things during routines and their bodies are allowed to heal, then they're good at gymnastics. It's weird.
This is so crazy to me. I saw some, I think you retweeted something about Chelsea Memel. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Anyway, you can find me on the internet at HStrong on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to check out what I'm reading, check out the Strong Library. A couple of weeks ago, I wrapped up the season 11 of Taskmaster with Grace Leader. Yeah. I'm not watching Taskmaster. It's my favorite show. Watch it. It's so, so funny. The Bachelorette is starting back up this week.
Lord.
Amy and I
more of that for us.
Amy and I were joined by Brian Skelly, New York Draft. So you can listen to that. What else have I been doing? Just puttering around, I guess, puttering around on the internet. You know, the usual.
Having pictures of Meghan Markle behind you.
At Mel Got Served made that for me. It's great. Follow her on Twitter and Instagram. She's excellent. Yeah, I love that. Yep, I'm a Meghan fan girl. Can't help myself. Until next time, pack your knives and go. Bye.
Bye.